Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. By American players, for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Aaron G. Thompson about rethinking everything we know about the paranormal. What was that point? What was the thing that changed for you?
Well, I have a formed study that I actually need to change the name to as well, because it expands more than I originally thought. So eco-terrestrial quantum mechanics is what I was working with. It's how ghosts ghost. Mm-hmm. And there was some cool points where I was able to reverse engineer conversation pieces that I got and match it with science or really good known theories pretty perfectly. It was awesome. And I'm still using that concept and that building block. But recently, and I'm going to, there's a lot of layers to it, so I'm going to go straight to the punchline. Sure. Here. We can always, have me back. We could talk deeper. Oh my gosh, there's so many.
Dude.
Okay. So, I'm going through my head right now going, okay, I'm going to start. Okay. Ghosts and spirits are not how we perceive them to be. Upon the vessel expiring, there's a separation. There's a separation of consciousness, and consciousness is really that one all. It's one consciousness. It's how the prayer game works, how well wishes, meditation. It's all around. It's a giant telephone game. It connects everywhere. It provides really what your intent is. I'm working with a group that has tools. They say I'll be visiting them multiple times this year, and it measures intent, actual intent and consciousness. It's that sensitive. So I'm excited to see that and to start using more of those tools in conjunction with what we do. So the consciousness goes to one zone and it's there. It's ready to be put back into a vessel upon getting sucked back up. Conception happens, biology kicks in, it sucks in that energy, boom, there's consciousness again. Well, there's the second layer is memory. So memory gets put in this other atmosphere, this other zone. It's mostly emotional base. Big emotional moments happen, and boom, it captures those moments in time. Those are where our hauntings come from. Residual hauntings very much react to that style of memory. But in time, get this, because we're seeing this tangibly, with artificial intelligence, we're making robots that are starting to learn on their own and starting to do things, and that's how they're programmed. Think that way when coming to a haunting situation or even residual in time or even straight up intelligent haunting. It knows facts on where it was last left, but in time it can learn. I've been able to teach some houses some things and they remember, and that seems to be where our intelligent hauntings are. So grandma, she passes away. Well, she's perfectly fine. Her consciousness is good. She's fine. But the memory, Metallica got it right. The memory remains. It's down there doing dishes or doing whatever as usual. And it's super intelligent. And it sounds like grandma. It may follow you around because it recognizes your energy. Now get this. Here's another layer. We as humans, with it being memory based and even some cases mass memory or mass focus based, we're creating our own monsters. I've never actually subscribed to demons, but with this new kind of road that I'm going down, It explains why people are starting to see what the stick man or something like that is. Slenderman. Thank you. Yeah. It was like a video game or a book or something like 15 years ago. And now people are starting to see it. People are wanting to see it. And now people are putting that in the memory bank, which is percolating actual imagery that can be real in a sense. But yeah, it's weird. And it's fairly fresh, but yeah, I had a moment where I'm like, damn it, humans are creating their own monsters now and I got to clean up the mess or something.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, what you're theorizing here is that someone dies, and I'll just try and put this as in simple terms as possible.
Yeah.
Someone dies. That energy, that consciousness that is Uncle Bernie. I don't know why I'm saying Bernie, maybe because the debates are tonight and I'm thinking about what's going on in the world. Anyway, I'm not pro against. It's just the name that popped into my head. So he dies, and then his energy, his consciousness, not the memory, but just his consciousness and his energy is essentially in one jar. And then the other jar over here, that's theoretically floating in the air, is his memory. It's everything that he's done in his life, everything he's learned. It's what is he's able, what makes him recognize the cat down the road as being Shirley's down the road. It's that.
Exactly. And
they're two separate things, essentially.
Yep. Okay. Yep. The consciousness is much bigger jar, and it's actually everywhere. The consciousness is actually looped up in what I'm working with another very prominent group called the Downward Flowing Ether, which is basically your answer to energy and to how everything works mechanically. It's pretty fascinating. It's fascinating.
So the energies here, the consciousness, not the memory, the consciousness that, I guess, where do you theorize that goes, if that's not the part that's causing the hauntings? The memory is the one that's causing more of the hauntings.
Consciousness is everywhere. The consciousness is where you pray to, in a sense, or where it's all one connected.
Okay.
The consciousness is, from what I gather right now, the consciousness is the essence, is everything, the unseen energy that keeps the universe kind of intact. Mm-hmm. If you think about plants, animals, I mean, they all have a consciousness. You talk to a shaman, they definitely have conversations, and it's a different conversation than if they were to talk to, you know, a human, mm-hmm. or, you know, be interacting with even a spirit or that spirit energy. It's fascinating, but the consciousness can still, in a sense, it knows and it learns and it remembers. It just, there's that strong emotional disattach. Am mm-hmm. I saying that right? Detach. I can't even speak.
Something.
Removal.
Sure. Detachment. Yes. Yeah. Detachment from.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Oh my
yes.
gosh.
So, with the memory then that, and where you're saying that the memory can even sometimes learn, which is interesting, because that would be where you have some of those cases where is this residual? Because sometimes it seems very much like a pattern with no interaction, and then sometimes it seems like it's responding in a very circular way. It's very much doing its own thing. It's almost as if you kind of go off into two places. If you were to look at it from when we die, well, I guess part of our energy goes here, part of it goes there. Is that something where the two ever co-mingle again? Or is it, you know, is it something else that's going on there?
Well, I think the consciousness has potential to recognize that other layer. Mm-hmm. But honestly, the consciousness is the key. That's the organism that wants to survive.
Yeah.
And that's why it keeps reproducing, keeps learning, because from what I understand, from what I've heard and other parties through conversation, it seems within a vessel, it can learn faster. And again, that seems to make sense with some data that I have. The mm-hmm. consciousness... yeah, it can recognize said memory, but the memory part is what doesn't, I guess, it worries me a little bit, because, again, it's not anything like, say, say I pass away right now,
yeah,
my memory is still going to be rocking the mic, but I'm perfectly fine. My consciousness, I see it, you know, I'm good. But for whatever reason, I just created a duplicate of me. Sometimes when we ask questions, what year is it? You know, some of those basic questions, we get 1952. Well, they're smart enough to answer us, but why are they saying 1952? Mm-hmm. Originally, I thought waves, particles moving so fast, it just feels like they're not moving, which seemed to be a logical explanation at the moment. But now with this whole memory twist, that's their memory. So they're learning with us. They know how to answer us. They're moving forward, and sometimes they can repeat what year it is if they understand or read our mind and figure it out. But yeah, it was smart enough to answer the year, but it got the year super wrong. I was not alive in 52.
It's an interesting thing to think of, and it kind of blows your mind a little bit, because so if you're having the interaction and you think it's Grandma Ethel that's hanging out in the house that you're living in, that she once lived in, is it still really Grandma Ethel, though, that's haunting right. it, even though she's interacting and she does have these memories?
Bothers me.
Yeah, because right. you're kind of like, oh, we're to the point of, okay, we think they're here. You know, there's enough evidence they're here. But then this kind of puts a little kink into that chain. Damn,
I hate it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what do we treat it
but
as?
Is it,
I mean, because it's
is it her?
Emotional-based.
Yeah. And is it her, or is it a clone, you know, of her? Not really a clone, but just the part of her that's not her, you know, and that gets interesting.
Yeah.
And then you kind of go, well, I want to be, when I'm dead, I want to be part of the memory part. But if our whatever it is, the essence, the soul, the energy separates off, then you don't have that part. It's like the data is missing. It's like the computer and the disk, if you will.
Right, right. And I feel you definitely still have the memory attributes in the consciousness, because mm-hmm. consciousness, it's constantly learning. When I say memory, maybe that's what I'm using now, but maybe it is more that emotional disattachment. Maybe it's just removing that emotion.
Okay.
For the most part, because the memory is intact, and that's really key of growth.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there's definitely that essence of memory or definitely emotion.
Yeah.
That remains.
Very interesting concept, one I have never had discussed on the show before. So that's a rare thing to have that occurrence happen. So I'm really very much intrigued. And obviously, this is theoretical. This is what you're you know, studying and learning and hypothesizing. But it's obviously it's a kind of a new direction that hasn't really been explored very much. With the hauntings you were saying earlier typically being the memory, then what about the energy and finding a vessel? We hear quite often, you know, terms of, you know, well, people were possessed or right. an attachment right. or something. Is that the memory attaching? Is that the memory, or is that more the other part, the energy that is finding a vessel?
It'll be the memory, hands okay. down, in that context, just okay. because that's what's going to that's what's going to interact with us mostly. But mm-hmm. the funny thing is, the consciousness itself has the ability to come through the boxes and to overtake and to communicate that way, mm-hmm. And to travel and to share. And not to say the memory couldn't probably do something similar, but the consciousness seems to still have attributes where they can reach out to you and mm-hmm. share some vital information. We've got this one I told you a little bit ago about the vessel, you know, getting sucked up on conception.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I brought that up is because I asked, or my team asked the question when we were running a session, tell us something we don't know. That's a typical question that we always throw. Just give us something that humans don't know. We get some great stuff, by the way. But this particular time, I held on to it for like a year, and before I put two and two together, and even then it evolved. But it said, you get sucked up, and that's where babies come from. And that's where babies come from was incredibly clear.
Yeah.
You get sucked up a little. That had to wrap around my head a little bit just to figure out there was something before it. But foot, and that's where babies come from. I even heard that live, and I thought it said rabbits. When we slowed it down, it definitely said babies.
Turning to rabbits.
Oh,
Jesus.
Yeah.
That would explain a lot.
My face.
All the numbers.
You just saw my face after it said it. I got it recorded. I look over at Nick. I'm like, did it just say rabbits? So I got just this. Yeah.
Oh, well, wouldn't that suck?
But, yeah. Son of a
yeah. Fucking rabbit. So this is bullshit. I did all this research to find out I turn into a goddamn rabbit.
Yeah. That's where we go. Explains why there's so many, right?
Exactly. All these dead people. More fucking rabbits.
Yeah.
Oh God. So
you know the
go ahead.
I'd say the memory consciousness concept actually was thrown by me. It's a Japanese belief system. So it's out there, but of course, with a lot of belief systems, it's faith based, and there's not too much dialogue around that. I'm just trying to work on the mechanics and the dialogue around that. Mm-hmm. But even if I didn't run into someone saying that to me, I would have went there. I was practically there anyway, so it was just a little bit of a nudge.
Sure. Very interesting to hear. Well, that's where babies come from, because that essentially goes into the reincarnation.
Absolutely. I didn't believe in reincarnation. No. I mean, I'm not faith, I'm not doing faith based stuff on this. So I'm very, I don't know.
Sure.
Until I get something like that. And now that makes perfect sense. Cause I mean, where is all this energy gonna, keep going? But I mean, there's a lot of energy and
sure.
We can go into further talks, but yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's the, I guess then you kind of go into, we were talking earlier about emotion. We were saying memory, and then you kind of said, well, maybe it's more emotion, the emotional attachment, than it is the memory. That would explain sometimes where you'll have children, for example, that will for some reason have these memories that they are recounting. For most, it's at a very young age, in information that they should have no memory right. of. But they also don't have much of an emotional attachment to what they're talking about. It's just they could be saying that they burned in a fire and they died, just as easy as saying, I like the mac and cheese that I had for lunch,
right.
with the same amount of emotional attachment. It's just data. It's like the facts. Here's what this was. And then slowly that fades away. I actually have a story about that. My daughter, who is now 7, when she was about 2.5, 2 or somewhere in that area, we were just brushing her teeth, or she was brushing her teeth, and I was standing by her making sure she brushed her teeth. And then I watch what she, what she watches on television. I like to think of myself as a responsible parent. She's not watching Die Hard or The Flaming Inferno or Apollo 13 at the age of 2.
Braveheart.
Yeah. I mean, she watches Night of the Living Dead and Freddy and all that shit
good,
at 2. But,
good,
but
good.
You know, not the real stuff. Anyway, she was just brushing her teeth, and she goes, Dad, you know what? What? And just brushing away, just total normal. I died. What? And she had a pretty good grasp on language at a young age. She was speaking young and she still is a great, it's funny you talk to her. It's like talking to a 30-year-old. And she's like, I died. I'm like, what do you mean you died, honey? And I'm just like, this is weird. And I've heard so many stories on the show. I'm thinking, where is this going? And this is great concept. Grab the phone, tape this. And she's like, yeah, I died in the fire. What fire would you die in, honey? Well, it was in the spaceship. Something went wrong. We didn't get up. We didn't complete our mission. And I died in the fire. And it was hot. It burned me. And that's how I died. Puts a little some more sparkle crest on there and keeps brushing.
yeah.
I'm like, what spaceship are you talking about, honey? The one that I died in. Just totally matter of fact. Didn't get a whole lot more detail. It was just kind of this loop of speaking. And then just, hey, Dora's on, let's go watch, can we go watch that now, Dad? She just told me how she perished, and not realizing how that doesn't make logical sense to her current timeline, how she couldn't be dead. But just wanted to get that message out. And then she said it probably about 3 or 4 more times in just random places and times. Never, I didn't of course, a couple times I did question her about it, and right. She didn't really want to dive much into it. But then sometimes she would just say these things, and it was very consistent, the same story over and over. And then, you know, it died off and she never spoke of it again and has no recollection to the having this conversation.
And, you know, that seems to be more consciousness based. Yeah. There's a lady, a doctor that I keynoted an event in California, actually in September of 2019. Super cool place. It was the Kennedy Mines out there. She actually shared a story of, it was actually really, really sad, man. She like legally died. I'm probably off on the number, but maybe not, like five times, like legally straight up died. And she recalls her ascension in a sense, right? And what I found interesting with that is she was at peace. She understood everything, but she was perfectly comfortable. So that emotion was not with her at that time. She was going to where she needed to go, but she respected everything. She knew maybe she should go back, but at the same time, she was super comfortable. She was fine mm-hmm. with dying. It's interesting. And we also got some feedback upon exiting the vessel. What do you see? And constantly we get blue light, big, beautiful blue light. That happened solo with the team, with group, with me not saying anything and just letting the you know, paying group tell me what they heard. And it always goes back to blue light multiple times. So I started looking at blue light. And if you think about it, and we'll go more quantumly here, on Earth, not extraterrestrial, but terrestrial, long wavelengths, small, tiny particles, that's the color blue. That's why the sky is blue, because the gases that the Earth emits produces that visual for us. So if you pass away on Earth, logically, scientifically, you would see blue upon that transition. So I don't know. I found that interesting too. Yeah. But yeah, that's interesting with the story. I definitely think it's the consciousness over the the emotion mm-hmm. or the memory, because again, that would have more visual.
Action. That explains a lot of that, where it's just data. You're just reading off data that was not, I mean, it was yours, but I suppose in our consciousness today, we don't even recognize it as being ours because we didn't, you know, it wasn't our emotional experience. All that's, you know, removed. That wraps up the second half of our conversation with Aaron G. Thompson. Fascinating conversation. Be sure to check out his website and work at ghostcrier.com. That's ghostcrier.com. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Follow me at Tony Bruschi on Instagram. Thanks for listening.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack, craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for 10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.